All right, well, let's open up to Matthew chapter 5. And many of you know that we are presently studying the Beatitudes together. And we're going to be focusing in on verse 9 of the fifth chapter tonight. But let me read to you verses 3 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's pray. Lord, we pray now as we consider once again, these Beatitudes, we pray, Lord, that you would give us understanding of your word and bring by your Holy Spirit the application of your word to our hearts tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come tonight to verse 9 of chapter 5, where Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." This is really, in one sense, the last of the Beatitudes, in the sense that the Beatitudes are a description of the Christian's character. The word beatitude, which has been applied to these pronouncements of blessing that Jesus made here, is a Latin word that means blessed, or it can also mean happy. And so as we've been looking at them, we see that this is a description of what a person looks like who has experienced the grace of God, a person who has received the grace of God. And we've gone through each one of these, beginning with the poor in spirit, and we've looked at how each of these Beatitudes are just another manifestation of the work that God does in those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we come now to this reference to the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, the first question I think we need to address is just who is it that Jesus is referring to? Who are the peacemakers? And before we answer that in the positive, let's look at it from the negative standpoint, in as much as let's understand who he's not referring to. So he's not referring to the Dalai Lama. He's not referring to a person like Nelson Mandela or Mikhail Gorbachev. He's not referring to a Jimmy Carter or an Al Gore. He's not even referring to Bono or some of you younger people. Now, as noble as the efforts of some of these men are or have been in their pursuit of peace, they are not the ones that Jesus is referring to. Now, why do I bring that up anyway? Does anybody really think that that's who he's talking about? Yes. Many people think that. Many people think that that is what Jesus is dealing with, that sort of a thing. And they would look at people like the ones that I've mentioned or others who might be involved in similar types of efforts, and they would say, there's a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a son of God right there. A son of God is somebody who's out trying to bring about peace. Now, I'm not putting down anybody's efforts to bring about peace. That's a good thing. I'm just trying to simply clarify that that's not what Jesus is talking about here. When Jesus is talking about the peacemakers, just like in every other beatitude that we've looked at, we have to remember that we are once again dealing with something that is first and foremost spiritual. See, Jesus is talking about something above and beyond the kind of peacemaking that these individuals might be involved in. He's talking about something on a higher plane. He's talking about something that is predominantly spiritual. Now, notice what it says. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So the first thing that we know for sure about the peacemaker that Jesus is referring to is that the peacemakers are Christians. Christians in the biblical sense. Now, you know, we live in a time when you have to really sort of specifically define what the term Christian means, because there are many people that consider themselves to be Christians simply because they're not adherents to some other religious system, or perhaps in some cases because they, you know, were born and raised in a Christian culture. But when we talk about Christians, when the Bible speaks of Christians, we are talking about those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, those who have put their personal faith and trust in Christ. And Jesus is referring first and foremost to those. Sons of God is a term that is used exclusively in the New Testament of Christians. So you never find that term, sons of God, being applied to anybody other than those who are believers in Christ. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, speaking of receiving Jesus, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God, to those who believe in his name. So from the biblical standpoint, a son of God, and that includes daughters as well, is a believer in Christ. So they are peacemakers because they are sons of God, not the other way around. They are not sons of God because they are peacemakers. You see, again, Jesus is really just describing another dimension or another facet of what is going to be seen in and through the lives of those who are his people. So that brings us to a second question. What does a peacemaker look like? And, you know, this is really important because in some strange way, a lot of us miss this. A lot of us miss this element of what the Christian life is to look like, this element of peace and making peace. So what does a peacemaker look like? Well, again, let's look at it from the negative for a moment. A peacemaker would not promote or stir up strife, contention, or conflict. So a person who is a contentious person, a person who is stirring up strife, a person who goes about creating conflict of whatever sort. Now, this isn't what you would expect from someone who is a peacemaker. This isn't really what we would expect from someone who is a child of God, a follower of Christ. Far too many Christians are critical of and combative toward their fellow Christians. You know, if there was anybody in the world that ought to be really oriented toward peace and working toward peace, and I'm not just, you know, I'm not talking so much about world peace, but, you know, world peace is kind of, you know, it's sort of a dream that obviously is never going to be attained until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns. But, you know, it's interesting how, you know, people can have this ideology of world peace, but they can't even get along with the people in their house or in their neighborhood. And so often that's the way it is. Jesus brings things right down to the person standing next to you, the person working in the cubicle next to you, the person living in the same house as you, the person sitting next to you in church. Jesus brings it right down to that. And we can talk all we want on the ideological level about world peace, but if we're not promoting peace on a personal level, then we're missing the point. You know, it always has struck me as a bit bizarre when peace demonstrations turn into violent riots. You know, how do you explain that one? What does that mean? But going back to what I was saying regarding us as Christians, far too many Christians are critical of and combative toward their fellow Christians. There's so much strife in the body of Christ. There's so much contention in the body of Christ. And quite often there's just this, you know, there's this nitpicking over, to some degree, unimportant, irrelevant types of things. That's not the characteristic that Jesus is describing here. Jesus is describing a peacemaker. Some Christians feel it is their God-given mission to find fault with and attack their brothers and sisters in Christ. Boy, the internet is full of this kind of thing today. And you can go on and you can find all different kinds of websites where they are criticizing this pastor and this evangelist and this leader, and you know, they're just, you know, finding fault and being critical. And the thing that strikes me as ironic there is so often, you know, it's the guys who are really out on the front lines, out in the trenches, really, you know, doing the work of evangelism, doing the work of advancing the gospel. And, you know, here's a guy that's locked in his garage, sitting there behind his PC. And, you know, it's questionable whether he's ever led anybody to Christ, but he's going to pick apart this evangelist. He's going to criticize him because he said something or he did something that this particular guy didn't approve of. You know, the internet is a wonderful thing in many ways, but in other ways, you know, it's taken certain people and elevated them to a position of being an authority on things, when the fact of the matter is they're not an authority on any of those things at all. They just have nice websites and lots of spare time to express their opinion on their site. So, you know, this is the kind of thing. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. Some Christians seem to almost relish the thought of war. Now, I'm going to step on a few toes here, but, you know, I think we have a little bit of a distortion in our thinking process in some areas, especially when it comes to end times types of things. You know, whenever something's going on over in the Middle East, like it is right now as we speak, whenever there's controversy, whenever there's, you know, threatening, and whenever there's, you know, the possibility that there could be some kind of an outbreak of some sort of a clash over there or whatever, or, you know, some time ago, of course, we saw, you know, things really heat up there in Israel with Lebanon and so forth. And you know, sometimes I hear Christians saying things that I just think, you know, there's something the matter with us if we're thinking in these terms. You know, when you hear about the possibility of war in the Middle East and that kind of thing going on, you know, when you come along and say something like, you know, oh, isn't it so exciting what's happening over in the Middle East right now? You know, the fact of the matter is, no, it's not exciting. It's frightening. I mean, let's be realistic about it. People are dying. People are suffering. Families are being deprived of their loved ones. And, you know, sometimes we're so far removed from all of that ourselves, and we're just sitting back reading Bible prophecy and, you know, this is going to happen and these nations are going to attack. But we sort of disengage from the personal element of it. And I think that we really need to be sensitive, and we need to be careful, because the impression that some people get from the evangelical community is that we are more interested in war than we are in peace. Some have said, isn't it terrible that certain Israeli politicians are talking about giving up land for peace with the Palestinians? Now, you know, it's easy for us to sit here and pontificate about that sort of a thing, but we're not living in a war zone. You can understand that people, they'd like to get beyond war and live in some kind of peace. So I think we need to be careful about some of these kinds of things. Sometimes I think we've lost sight of who's really in control and perhaps forgotten that it is God who is going to save Israel, not the United States government or the evangelical church in America. These are the things that are far beyond our ability. These are the things that belong in the hands of the Lord. But again, as we're talking about what Jesus is referring to here, being peacemakers. If we are peacemakers, we're not going to be opposing attempts for peace. Peace is a good thing. The Bible tells us to pray that we might live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. An atmosphere of peace is a much easier atmosphere for the gospel to spread and the work of the ministry to take place than in a war zone. So we need to, I think, be a little more sensitive in that area. But a peacemaker is not the equivalent of a pacifist. Oppression, tyranny, and terrorism need to be defeated. There's no question about that. And sometimes war is the only way to make peace. Sometimes it's impossible to negotiate. History affirms that you cannot negotiate with tyrants and dictators. You either fight them or they will conquer, oppress, and terrorize you. That's just a fact. So, but when we're talking about blessed are the peacemakers, and we're trying to understand what it is that Jesus is talking about, we need to take all of these things into consideration. So, we see what a peacemaker is not, or what would be inconsistent with that title. A peacemaker is, in the positive sense, one who actively seeks peace. And the Bible teaches us to do that as God's people. Listen to what Jesus said later on in this fifth chapter of Matthew. He said, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That's the behavior of a peacemaker. Paul, in writing to the Romans, said, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. So this is what we would see on the positive side of things. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 tells us to pursue peace with all people. And then Peter, writing in his first epistle, the third chapter, the 10th and the 11th verses, he says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. So a peacemaker, according to Jesus and the apostles, is somebody who is seeking and pursuing peace. Pursue peace with all people. Again, as Christians, we should be the most peaceable people in the world. In that sense of personally seeking to live at peace with others and seeking to promote peace, whether it be in our communities or out beyond that. But again, just for clarification, that doesn't mean that you can't be a peacemaker, and yet under certain circumstances you have to use force to bring about peace. Pursuing peace. A few years back, some of you perhaps remember that Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Community Church, he gathered his congregation together over at Anaheim Stadium, and they had a rally, and they presented a peace plan. And the letters were an acronym, and this is what that acronym stood for. Peace is an acronym, said Warren, that stands for planting churches, equipping servant leaders, assisting the poor, caring for the sick, and educating the next generation. The emphasis calls for church-based small groups to adopt villages where spiritual emptiness, selfish leadership, poverty, disease, and ignorance keep people from experiencing the kind of life God wants them to have. You know what? I think that's a great plan. I commend Rick Warren for that desire, for that effort that they're putting forth. This is a good thing. Now, he's received a ton of flack about this. He's even been accused of assisting in the establishing of the kingdom of the Antichrist, bringing a false peace into the world. But, you know, in some ways, I think we've sort of forgotten to some extent that in our ministry to people, it's a good thing to do good to people in a practical sense. And along with bringing them the gospel, there's certainly nothing the matter, and it's actually a very positive and a very good thing to seek to help in practical ways as well. And as I looked at that peace plan, I thought this is practical assistance to people who are in need. But of course, the motive, the impetus behind the whole thing is the love of Christ. It's people who love Christ who are doing this. And I think that this is a good example of what Jesus is talking about here. You know, Jesus did not save us just to go to church and have Bible studies, as wonderful as that is and as necessary as that is to continue to build ourselves up in the faith. He wants us also to take what we're receiving and to go out into the world and to engage this world and to actively help to change people's lives for the better. I think that's a good example of what we're told to do in pursuing peace. Now, the ultimate objective of the peacemaker and the ultimate manifestation of peacemaking are seen in evangelism. So Jesus, I think, absolutely, when he's talking about the peacemaker, he's talking ultimately about evangelism. He's talking about those who would engage in that work of sharing the gospel with others so that men and women could be reconciled to God. We read in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Reconciling sinners to God through Christ is the ultimate act of peacemaking. So there's a lot of different areas where this characteristic that will be manifesting itself in us because we are the children of God, there's a lot of different areas where this is going to be demonstrated. But the ultimate, again, would be in the reconciliation of people to God. Because the reason the world has no peace is because the world is at war with God. And you can't be at war with God and expect to live at peace yourself personally. And the same is true collectively, as the vast majority of men on this planet are rebelling against God and in revolt to His rule over their lives. Of course, there is going to be no peace. God Himself declared, "There is no peace for the wicked," says the Lord. We read concerning Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 2, "For He Himself is our peace." And then we read, "And He came," Jesus came, "and preached peace to you who were afar off. Now therefore we are no longer," or you are no longer, "strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So a peacemaker is going to be manifested in these kinds of activities. We're going to be pursuing peace. We're going to be pursuing it on just the practical level of living peacefully with our neighbors, as Paul would say in another occasion in Romans chapter 12, "As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That's a peacemaker. Peacemaker is out to live peaceably. We're not out to always be stirring up strife and conflict and trouble and argumentation and those kinds of things. But then this other dimension of bringing the gospel to people. I want to mention some familiar names to you. And these names that I know are familiar to most of you, these, we looked over that list initially. We looked at those who would not really fit into the description that Jesus gave. It's not the Dalai Lama, it's not Nelson Mandela, and so forth. Something that sticks in my mind from so many years ago, I remember, I think it was at a garage sale or something, and it was back in the 70s, and, you know, back in those days, we used to take a piece of wood and sand it down a little bit and then put maybe a picture on it and then put some resin over it. And, you know, then you'd sell it. And somebody who didn't know much about art would think it looked cool and they would buy it. But I remember being at a garage sale, and I remember seeing one of those things. And lo and behold, there was John and Yoko Lennon. And right below their pictures, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Wrong pictures. Wrong pictures. But you know, you could have put Billy and Franklin Graham's picture there. You could have put Louis Palau, a great evangelist to the Latin world. If you wanted to have two people, you could have put Greg Laurie and Mike McIntosh there. You could have put Bob Coy there. These are names that we're familiar with. Of course, there are many other thousands and thousands of evangelists we don't know anything about. But these men, we know them as evangelists. They're men who share the gospel. They're men who are being used by God to bring about this ultimate peace, this reconciliation between God and men, bringing sinners to salvation. Some names you're not so familiar with, maybe some of you are, a few of you are, but we could throw in there Brian McDaniels, Jonathan Milton. Those guys are in Belize City right now as we speak. and they're sharing the gospel on the streets of Belize City. Last week, they were up in San Francisco preaching the gospel in Union Square. Lovingly, graciously, but sincerely and powerfully. Think of Carl Corcoran. He's out evangelizing. You guys know Carl. He's always trying to recruit people to go out and evangelize with him. Garrett Beeler, he's going to be preaching the gospel in a few minutes here over in Garden Grove. But you see, the peacemakers in that ultimate sense are those who are sharing the gospel. So it's any one of us, it's anyone else in this fellowship who are sincerely and lovingly sharing Christ with others. These are the peacemakers. Now, everything that's going on here tonight, from this study and, you know, the talk about Creation Fest is primarily an evangelistic outreach. And then we've got the impact training for the Harvest Crusade. As Christians, we've got the best news. We've got the only solution to the problems in this world. The problem, the crux of the problem is men are separated from God, and we have got that ministry of reconciliation. We can tell other people about how God reconciled us to Himself through Christ and how God wants to reconcile them to Himself through Christ. And that is the ultimate act of peacemaking. And since we are God's sons and daughters and we are partakers of His very nature, then this is something that is going to be manifesting itself in and through our lives. God is the God of peace, and we are the children of God. And so our lives are going to be marked by peace. We're going to be people who are peaceful. We're going to be people who are promoting peace. And, you know, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about false peace. I'm not talking about, you know, something that the world is going to conjure up at some point. I'm talking about real peace. Working for peace, pursuing peace, sharing the gospel. These are the things that Jesus said that His people would be doing. These are the kinds of things that the children of God are going to be all about. And may the Lord really speak to us about these things. And may we realize that it's really inconsistent with being a peacemaker if we are critical, if we're judgmental. Doesn't mean that we don't evaluate things and assess them and point out when things are wrong, but, you know, critical and judgmental means that you're looking to find fault. You're going to find it, rather than love just sort of, you know, there might be some things. You know, there are a lot of preachers and a lot of ministries and so forth that, you know, I don't agree with lots of the things they do, but, you know, I'm not God. And sometimes we just sort of get the feeling like if they don't do it our way, then they must be doing it wrong. We need to let everybody know to watch out for them. Don't go to their church. That's the wrong attitude. That's not the attitude of a peacemaker. Because most of the things that divide Christians, quite honestly, are things that don't really matter. We get divided over all of these irrelevant kinds of things. We need to set aside those smaller things and focus on the bigger picture of, you know, this is the question. Do they know Christ? Do they love Christ? Are they serving Christ? You know, Paul the Apostle could even say concerning those men who were opposing his ministry, he could even say, you know what? They've got false motives and everything else. They're trying to make my life more miserable. But, you know, at least they're preaching the gospel. I rejoice in that. Paul was a peacemaker. Let's be like that as well. Father, thank You, Lord, that You reconciled us to Yourself. And Lord, we want to be what we ought to be because we are Your sons and daughters. You are the God of peace, And Lord, we want to be peacemakers. So help us, Lord. Lord, forgive us of a critical spirit. Forgive us of always trying to find fault maybe with others. Forgive us, Lord, of forgetting that we need to reach out sometimes and touch somebody. We need to humble ourselves and apologize and those kinds of practical things. And Lord, just help us. Lord, you gave us this description here. Lord, you said this is who we are in you. Lord, you know that our flesh is always battling against the Spirit. So help us, Lord, to be walking in the Spirit so we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray.